Înainte de mesajul de tineret, în limba engleză, vreau numai să vă aduc aminte că va fi tot scris în românește, tradus de soția mea și sper să fie toate bine, dar o să vă ajute pentru cei care nu înțelegeți limba engleză să puteți măcar să fiți după mine și să înțelegeți puțin din capitolul acesta care se va citi. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven. Amen." This evening, God put on my heart to speak about an act that is seldom seen in our times anymore. At least it's becoming more rare each year that passes. It's an act that can change lives, as we see in Luke 5. However, today, it's being barely recognized. Kindness is an act that God values, but the world is far, far away from it. Unfortunately, it has plagued even the Christians in our churches. What used to be easily done and shown, kindness is an act of the past Christians. It doesn't apply to us anymore, or at least it seems that way. We used to stop and open the window of a car when we saw a homeless, and we give them a little bit of money. How many of us still do that? At the stoplight, you stop and you still give that homeless money. But let's go further, right? You go on the street and on the freeway and somebody's tire blown or the car breaks down. How many of us still stop to give a hand? We used to stop in many of these situations, but now we have excuses and we find these intellectual reasons. Well, if the homeless, we give him money, he goes over to buy alcohol. That's an intellectual reason. We'd say, well, they're not really, they're fake homeless. Nowadays, they have that. So instead, we just drive by. For the person that's parked on the street of the freeway and they're having trouble, we just say, well, we don't know what kind of person that is. We intellectualize our reasoning. We don't know if they have a gun or what kind of people they are. So we drive by. We drive right by an opportunity to show an act of kindness to someone that God brings right in your pathway. Think about it. When you're driving on that road, that homeless person or that person that needs help, it's in your road, not my road. And when I'm on my path, they're not on your path. See, when we start thinking like that, we realize what an opportunity we have to show kindness to someone that God brings right in front of us. But let's get closer to home. We don't have to stay very far here in the church, right? We used to visit widows. We used to visit sick people, us, the church members. We used to go them to see them, to ask them what they need, to buy them groceries, and to take them to church, to give them rides. How many of us still do that? Or do we still have intellectual reasons? Actually, they're actually called stupid reasons. I wrote it down, highlighted stupid. Because now the reasons are I'm too busy or someone else will do it. But open with me to Luke 5:18. And listen what it says here. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And later on, we find in Luke 5:20, when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the paralyzed person, their faith, Those are the Christians, their faith. Jesus forgave this man. Church, young people, do you realize what it says here? Jesus blessed this person because of all the other people. Jesus forgave them, and later on in Luke chapter 5, verse 24, not only did he forgive them, but he actually healed them. Can you imagine what would happen if we would do that in our churches? If we would bring the sick person in front of Jesus Christ, we would see miracle happen. We would see God intervene in his or her life. But our priorities, and I know the youth is not here, but our priorities are all messed up. And I hope they listen to this youth message. That type of kindness doesn't apply to us anymore. It doesn't seem like it. We seem to be an evolved Christian. Our priorities are now 90%, 98% me and 2% others, right? Kindness is an action that God demands from all his children, no matter what. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." God demands that we show kindness to others because he showed it to us first by sending his only begotten son. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to send Jesus for us, but he did. And now it's our responsibility to identify with God because we are created in his image. Then we must show kindness to others. When we do acts of kindness to others, we reflect the character of God. And we also imitate Jesus Christ. We must show kindness and listen to this poor, to the poor, the widows, the orphans, and even foreigners. Says Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9 through 10. So that they can see that we do not reflect the world in this world or the American people. That we reflect God. We strive so hard to identify and assimilate to the American persona. When we really should be identifying with Jesus Christ and the heaven. Because we're not from here. I hear this all the time. This is not my home. I'm an ambassador. But we so closely resemble the world in which we live that sometimes I wonder where we're from. I'm not talking about doing good here. Many people do good. Be careful here. Many people do good. I see people in front of me all the time. They stop and they give a homeless $5. I see all the time somebody helping the person that has a flat tire. This is not what we're talking about. I'm talking about the kindness that when you give a homeless $5, you must stop and realize the opportunity that you have to turn off your car, to go up to this person, to pray with this person, to talk about Jesus Christ with this person, and not to look at your watch. Instead, spending time with that person. That's what the men in Luke 5 did. They could have just given him a map. If they don't have a map back then, they could have said, "Jesus is at that house. Go there." Or they could have taken the paralyzed person to the house and left them at the house, right? But look what they did. I mean, phenomenal. In verse 19, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd. Right in front of Jesus. They went all the way, not halfway. They went all the way. Talk about kindness. Brothers and sisters, this wasn't just doing a good deed. These men didn't just do a good deed. This was a heavenly kindness. You know what kind that is? The one that is compassion, that is love, the love for the other person. And love for others. So when I see that so-called Christians in the world don't have this kind of kindness, I ask myself for my own sake and for our own sake is, what are we doing with compassion? What are we doing with love of Jesus Christ? What do we do with the kindness that we have to have for other people? But God loved us first. He has so much love for you and I that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, because you are valuable to him. God showed his kindness towards you and I that he gave it all. not just partially. He gave it all. He didn't have to, but he did. The same kindness is what God wants from us. No, God demands from us. Period. And if that is what God requires of us, then we must make it a priority in our lives. Kindness is also the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, peace." What's the other word? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. As you can see, kindness is the fruit of the Spirit. That means that we have to have the Holy Spirit. Our acts of kindness are a result that we have the Holy Spirit, because only the Christians that have the Spirit can truly show heavenly kindness. It all goes hand in hand. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. God sends His Holy Spirit upon you, and your life changes. Your life changes to where you care about others and not about yourself. No longer are you the center of attention, but other people. That's the kind of kindness and type of kindness that leads to God's salvation. That's the end result. God's salvation, as we see in Luke chapter 5, they brought the person to Jesus. Jesus forgave his sins and healed him. We must lead and we must let the Holy Spirit start to work in our lives. This is so important. We have to let the Holy Spirit work in our families, in our churches. As I was doing this message, I realized the situation that we are in. And in another negative way, but sometimes we have 7-10 pastors here when one of them should be out there in the community. We have 7-8 people that can speak to the Word of God to you guys when we should be out on the street. Finding the sick person, finding the paralyzed person, finding the homeless. And to try to show the kind of compassion and love and kindness to the people in our community. Can you imagine what would happen in our churches? Revival. That's what would happen. If we would let the Holy Spirit just do the work in our own life and in the life of the church. This message was for me first, because I fall short as well. And I hope that anybody that has an ear to hear, it will change your life as well. I pray that God sends His Spirit upon us in our church at New Life, that we will start to show the compassion, the kindness, the love, not among ourselves only, but the people outside, and most important, for God's salvation. Amen.